Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 30th of April. Our guest this hour has founded and now runs the Good News Network, an online newspaper which offers only positive news from around the world. An example, April 5, this was listed on the website. A Minnesota woman who graduated from La Crosse created a scholarship to provide financial assistance to committed and highly motivated African American and Latino American college students. Jerry Weiss-Corbley is the creator, editor, and publisher of the Good News Network. She worked in television for a number of years, and she once pitched an idea for a program that would only feature cheerful news, and she was told that it would never sell. She had left her job in television when the Bosnian War broke out and was a stay-at-home mother of three children. The war coverage was incessant and included a lot of reports on television of women being raped as part of ethnic cleansing tactics, and it made her uneasy that her young family would grow up exposed to and influenced by grim news, and so she created this online news site in 1997. The website went live on Labor Day of that weekend. The biggest spike in traffic occurred on September 11 and 12 of 2001, and the second biggest spike in traffic occurred the week in September 2008 following the collapse of Lehman Brothers and other financial institutions. Colin Paul once sent her a note in 1998 telling her to keep up the good work. She is with us this hour as we talk about news and good news and welcome phone calls for Jerry. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. And you can also send an email if you got some good news, talk@WPR.org. Hello, Jerry. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hi. It's Hi. Good to be with you, Kathleen.
You know, I think that networks now have picked up on your idea because I've noticed NBC, at least, which tends to be the network I'm watching, has this Making a Difference segment. People need to feel inspired, and so they got a lot of dogs. They've got a lot of inspiring stories. They perhaps took that from you. What do you think?
I remember when they first launched that a few years ago, and the executive producer of that segment, Making a Difference, said he'd never gotten so much mail from viewers saying, thank you for giving us some good news. So they, because of that response, they made it a weekly feature. I believe it was every Friday they had it. And now, with the news so bad, they've got it every day.
Right, isn't that? I know. Every day. We were just going to try it out, and now it's all the time because they've had so much response. Mm-hmm. So tell me about your personal story. You're covering the news in Washington. You're a television reporter. You're a producer, and everything just brought you down?
Well, I was a camera person and an editor, and worked around in the White House and Congress, and I just thought, why aren't they covering a lot of these the good things that the Congress people do? You know, and I mentioned to my friend, there should be a good news show. Oh, it wouldn't sell. But I kept it. It stayed in my mind the entire time, the back of my mind. But I was like all the other journalists, and my adrenaline would rise when we were chasing someone or, in an accident. So I understand where they're coming from. In fact, today on a post, I posted something about swine flu for the first time, some facts and things to help clear up your fear, because really when you know the truth, it isn't that scary. And so at the bottom I said, editor's note, I did this there was an editor's note that mentioned the mainstream media's scary stories, and I just said, they can't help it.
Right.
When you're in the business, you just do it. Can't help it.
And then you add scary music, right? It's not just the story. It's all the music and the graphics and the flashing breaking news.
Ugh. Yeah, now that they have the crawls and the graphics and, countdown to
right.
misery.
Countdown to misery. That's a good way to put it. Well, what about this? Obviously, I have to ask you this question that, I'm sorry, good news just doesn't sell.
Well, I'm proving it does. I mean, I was doing this for free for 10 years because it was really my community service. I wanted to prove to myself that there was reason to hope, that things were really better than they appeared. And it's true. I actually did prove it to myself and made thousands of people happier every day in the process. But then I thought, well, the expenses are getting high here, and I'm not able to sell the advertising. I do all the other stuff, and I just don't have time. So I surveyed my readers and said, how many of you would pay for this Good News website? And it was really exciting, eye-opening stuff. Over 800 people took my survey, my fans, and 67% said they'd pay for Good News. And so when given that, I said, well, I'll have to do something about that. So now on the low end, I charge $2 a month. And they get all my work and service in putting together this fabulous clearinghouse, really, of all the good news. So you don't have to go searching for it. You know where to go when you need it or when you want it.
Right. So you gather information from really all over the world.
Yes. Yes. We both feature links to other stories, and we feature our own stories. So you get a real combination, and inspiring writers give us permission to use their columns. David Iglesias of the Washington Post gave me a use of his column one time, as well as wonderful writer Marie Lasquez that used to do the back of the, I don't know if she still does, of the Washington Post magazine. But so I feature around, you know, a lot of stuff, even in the kind of self-help realm, like 7 ways to be happy now. So not only just the news, the hard news, but other things as well.
Right. And is this good news hard to come by?
No, that's the interesting point that everyone thinks, oh, it must be hard. The hard part is to get everything up that I come across.
Really?
So I'm really a selective sifter. I choose the best news. A lot of people might send me a story that's very localized, like the Washington State Transportation Board is now hiring and has more jobs available. And that didn't make my news, because although I kept it because I might do a compilation of a lot of these local areas and where the jobs are. So,
oh, that'd be a good news segment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how much do you post every, do you post this every day, Jerry?
Yes. I 5 stories at least a day. And oftentimes there's so much good stuff that it'll go up to 9 or 10 stories a day. So
what, tell me what you posted about the flu, because we got cases here now. They've closed schools and we're in the middle of.
You do? Are you? No kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
Now we should save it. Did you mention that Wisconsin's my hometown? Home state.
No, tell us. That's good news.
Oh, my gosh. A shout out to my sisters, Amy Grant, Beth Fromm, and Jenny Weiss. I love Wisconsin. Come back at least once a year. My dad lives there as well. And I didn't know, I hadn't heard that there had been any cases of flu in Wisconsin.
Right. Yeah, we have 3 now. Probably quite a few more, but they've closed schools.
Well, one of the things was the man... I was sent this article, and he was talking about the word pandemic really freaking people out. And really, a lot of people don't really know what it means. And all it means is a new infectious disease that's spreading around the world. But that's it. Symptoms can be mild.
Right.
There doesn't even have to be any deaths. Whereas people tend to think of the bubonic plague, you know, people dying in the streets all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said in the United States, with this flu, it is similar to the regular flu, in that there are mild symptoms, and there haven't been any very low number of deaths compared to the number of people that have it, and even some people have. It seems that some people have some resistance to it, so their body can be fighting the flu while they have it. So, those are some of the things in that swine flu article, which is the top story of the day today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has been for some time. Well, this is good. It's good to find the positive in what has become really such a big negative, right?
Right. Well, last summer, I wrote a story myself on the 5 silver linings of high gas prices when everyone was in the midst of, what was it now, $5? $4 gas.
It was pretty. It was close to 5, I think.
I can't remember.
It was...
We had a little cheaper out here on the East Coast, but I don't shy away from. In fact, again, 9/11 provided a slew of inspiring stories. I mean, if you remember.
Yes.
I mean, just people just going above and beyond, not even at the site, but all around the country. I mean, it was just so inspiring. So, yes, out of crisis often comes good news and good Samaritans and a lot of hope.
I was interested in maybe there's another one that's had a big spike in traffic. The other big spike in traffic, September 2008, following the collapse of Lehman Brothers and other financial institutions. People were looking for good news that day,
I was so surprised. I'll tell you, about 2 weeks later, a reporter called me and said, I was just wondering, has your traffic gone up since there's been such bad news about the economy? And I said, well, I'll take a look. And I looked, and sure enough, on that very day, September 15th, it went up 45%.
Oh, my goodness.
And it stayed there. I mean, people really were searching for good news. If you put in good news on Google, I'm number one. And so that's how the majority of people until this year had found me.
Hmm. Do you still watch regular news, or do you try to keep yourself from watching certain kinds of things, Jerry?
Oh, yeah. I don't watch television news. I like some politics on television. I worked in politics for a little while too, shooting commercials for in Washington and elsewhere. But I don't watch television news, but I do listen to NPR all the time.
You do?
Yeah. If there is a story such as you mentioned about if there is a war or genocide and they're describing rapes in a village, I'll just turn it off. So if there's a story that will leave me feeling really helpless and awful, I just know that's a signal for me to turn it off. But I like to hear what's going on around the world. And, of course, searching for my good news, I also run into a lot of the mainstream headlines. But less than you would think, because I have set up some feeds. Technology is such today. It's so great that I have feeds to certain sites and certain places where I can find the good news, such as the Making a Difference on NBC. And also CNN has their Heroes page, so I occasionally feature those.
Right. Do people accuse you of being too much of a Pollyanna?
Yeah, they love to use that word, yeah. I remember an article in the Washington Times, the reporter said that I was going to get squashed like by the 400-pound gorilla of media.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice image.
Really?
But they do. I don't mind. I like looking at the world through rose-colored glasses myself. But I don't put. But my readers, most of my readers, and I, we don't put our heads in the sand. We don't. But some people I want to say that are so sensitive. Some people with depression should stay away from the news. I've had people write to me that their symptoms of depression have really eased, and they're now enjoying life since they found my website. And I believe that if you're so sensitive, you know, that you might want to avoid the news, but I don't advocate that. And a lot of my readers and I, we do read the news, and they'll send me links when they find good news from the UK or Australia and around the world, so...
Well, case in point is you look at certain stories like the Susan Boyle story, and part of that, you have to say, is due to the fact that people needed some really good news from an unexpected place and an unexpected person, and it just went crazy.
Yes, and I found that the day it came out, and so I sent that to my readers, and I recognized from them, they were all commenting on how fantastic that was. And another place that good news came out was the New York plane crash where Captain Sullenberger landed it on the belly of the plane and everyone survived. And he said later, a couple weeks later, he wrote an article for Newsweek magazine saying that he didn't realize until afterward how much the world was yearning for good news at that point. And he put it that way. They were yearning for good news, and they wanted to know that there were good things in the world still because of them being inundated by, the constant drumbeat of job losses and adjectives with the used with the economy were always, you know, the terrible economy, the awful, the, you know, and you name it. And they're still using it. In fact, I kind of have to smile because Brian Williams, every night when he says, asks people to send in good news, he says, we want you to send in your good news in this troubled economy, crisis economy.
Right.
It's like, I wish you would stop saying that because for many of us, okay, we're not really in crisis and it's not terrible for us. So, I mean, I wish you'd just qualify it a little, you know, for some. Or, I mean, I feature businesses that are doing really well, thriving corporations. Now the stock market is coming back. I didn't look at my 401k, but I knew that it was a cyclical event, that it would eventually come back up, and here it is. It's coming back up.
All right, we're going to welcome phone calls for Jerry. Our number is 800-486-8655. Jerry Weiss Corbly is our guest, and she is the creator, editor, and publisher of the Good News Network. We have some lines open if you'd like to join our conversation. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you'd like to send an email, that address is talk@WPR.org. talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go to your phone calls now, and we start with Ron from Milwaukee. Hello, Ron.
Rob, actually.
Rob. Hi, Rob.
Hey. I wanted to say thank you very much for the Good News Network. I'm a subscriber to your RSS feed, and it's fantastic.
Oh, fantastic, Rob.
I think that it's just like you said, we are overwhelmed with bad news all the time. I know good and well that the world is messed up. What I don't hear on your standard television and radio is what's being done about it. I'm not interested in whining. I'm interested in solutions. I don't need fluffy bunny stories, but I do want to hear about people who are getting stuff done and making the world a better place. And I thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you very much for the call, Rob. Let's go to Ann from Hortonville. Hi, Ann.
Hi.
Hi.
I had not heard of this Good News Network, and I'm really happy to learn of it. But I am thinking about a time when I took Fox City's leadership course, and I was astounded that month after month as we met, you would find little heroes and people doing wonderful jobs in all parts of the community. And it astounded me that I hadn't heard as much about it. And they're not necessarily big stories, but good people everywhere.
Yes, I know what you mean. I would love to in the future have local sections in the Good News Network where cities can have their own sections and really hear about all the little acts that are tremendous. And we do feature the small things. I mean, I've got a video here waiting to go up in the next couple days about someone who just went up. It's the Pay It Forward movement, and just paid for someone's gas. And they just were so thrilled, not only the person who got their gas paid for, but the woman who paid just got such a charge out of it. She absolutely loved it. So there's so many things being done, the kindness movement, and it's a thrill. It's really fun to read about.
Yeah, it is. And there are things such as I'm thinking of the snow plows, the city snow plows, and the people that work in those doing things, and they do it well, but they do it exceptionally well, where the trucks are clean. They just go above and beyond to do the very best for the city, and that was extremely wonderful to see about in the community.
Excellent point. And also, I was in Wisconsin in Milwaukee this Christmas, bitterly cold, and I was there for the 19 inches of snow that fell or something, and I love driving in the snow, luckily. I had my own car, but on the very last day, I was heading out of town and rammed into a snowbank because of an icy spot on a road, and it wasn't several minutes before a group large enough to help me pull my van out with had assembled.
Oh.
And it's just inspiring.
It is inspiring.
They just
That's
stopped
wonderful.
What they were doing, pulled over. And everyone took a spot on the van and pushed it out.
Oh, that's good. That's good news. Thanks very much for the call. Wasn't it Kurt Vonnegut? I always keep this quote in mind that the world could certainly use more acts of human kindness. And it is so true. It's a simple sentiment. And yet if we keep that in mind as we go through every day, it makes a whole difference to the way you live and the way people respond to who you are and how they live. It's just a good thing to keep
in
mind.
Well, like I said, I think I was really ultimately out to make myself happier, which is why I made the website. And stories like a couple weeks ago, one of the favorites of that week was a man from Pittsburgh just decided to trek to Chicago and do 5 good deeds for people. And so he went on Craigslist and said, who needs help with something? And he got 5 different people. You know, one needed a new car battery. One needed his shed taken down and taken away, and he was old or something. So he did. He trekked to, and he made a video. It's fantastic.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And that's on your website.
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yeah, put in the search field, Pittsburgh.
Okay. Thanks very much, Ann, for the call. Let's go to Betty from Oak Creek. Hi, Betty.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, good news sells. I think a good example is the Reminisce magazines that's published by Ryman Company.
Which magazine?
Well, they're called Reminisce, but they have Birds in Bloom, and they have country and cooking. Roy Ryman no longer owns them, but he started it on his kitchen table, and it's all good news, and you reminisce about the olden days, how people helped each other, and everything's positive in that. And it's just so interesting reading. They're just short stories.
Well, another magazine, when people told me Good News didn't sell, there was not only my intuition, but I looked at Reader's Digest was the number one magazine for decades, and that always had a hero on the cover, and it had little gems of kindness, you know, and Samaritans in there, and as well as Parade magazine, the supplement that goes in the Sunday paper. That's a real that was the number one supplement, and it also always features somebody who did something good on the cover. And then Oprah, and she was number one for so many years, and she had the Angel Network and all this kind of stuff about doing good things. So,
and Reader's Digest had some pretty good jokes on occasion, right?
Yes. I mean, I like to make people like to be made to smile too, so I do occasionally put the odd humor on the site.
Right.
Like today, you must have seen the Chihuahua blown away by 70 mile
yes.
an hour winds is reunited
yes.
with the owners.
Yes. That was quite a story. And that other dog, you must have put that one on, the one from Australia who was all by himself on this island, and then people
yes.
picked him up and brought him home 4 months later. I love stories
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Betty, very much for the call. We have lines open if you've been trying to reach us. 800-486-8655 is our number. Linda from Monroe. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen and guest. Now, I think the computers are going to replace media. Everybody's going to have their own blog site. Now, the following is a quote from Benjamin Disraeli that we took out of the book Lords of Finance, which we're currently reading. It was written by Liaquat Ahmed, and he says, read no history, nothing but biography, for that is life without theory. And then, for example, on the economy, is President Obama going to follow through on one of his campaign promises to tax the hedge fund dealers?
That's interesting. I don't know.
I don't know either. What about her point concerning that we'll all have to become bloggers at some point? The news is changing.
Well, the news is in a real interesting spot with companies finally realizing we can't spend this much money, the Washington Post, with all our reporters and doing all this work and then give it away for free.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that just like I was a pioneer in good news back in the 90s, I think I'm a bit of a pioneer charging for my services in the 2000s. So I think some of the papers might have to do that, and I encourage them to.
It's just going to take a while to get used to that, won't it, when
yes,
it comes
it
to
does.
Newspapers?
I certainly have people sending me nasty emails occasionally about how dare you charge for good news. Okay, that's fine. They can feel that way, but inspiring authors charge for their work, and inspiring filmmakers get paid, and so I'm an artist, and I deserve to get paid for my work, which I did it free for 10 years, so I did my my due diligence.
Sure.
But I do give 30-day free trials, I should say, so come on, and I guarantee if you don't find the 30 days terribly fulfilling, then you can just walk away. No problem, no credit cards needed or anything like that.
Thanks, Linda, for your call. Kirsty is next from Amro. Hi, Kirsty.
Hi. Hey, I am a Pollyanna girl, and I have to tell you that, you know, it is a choice that people can make. I have to tell you that my background is not a happy background. I came from a rough childhood and all of that good stuff that so many people, I mean, tough marriages and things like that. And I tend to be a realist and a literalist, which, I mean, you know, if you let that get away from yourself, it can be very unpositive. But I can remember when I was raising my kids, I saw this movie, Pollyanna. And I was trying so hard, working so hard to create an atmosphere in my home of positive and of, you know, nurturing and all of this. And there was a message that leaped out to me from that movie, and it was when the girl said, the little girl who was orphaned said, if you look for the good, she was quoting her father, if you look for the good in people, you will find it. If you look for the bad in people, you will find it. Mm. Now, my experience is, as a realist and as a literalist, oh yeah, we can go through this life and we can see all kinds of reality that is very, very daunting and blows you backwards, you know, and all of this sort of thing. But I also believe that as a realist and as a literalist, I can focus on those things that are good and pure and lovely and focus on people in a way that I look for the positives. I look for a way to encourage. I look for any sort of opening that can bring a smile to someone's face, including my own. And boy, I go through life as a happy person. I just went through a drive-up and got coffee, and, you know, I have my own little cuff for my coffee cup, and I held it up when I got to the window and used it like a megaphone, and I said, I've got my own cuff, and he said, oh, you're nutty. It's wonderful. I'm a nutty person, too. And I said, well, you know, there's a difference in how I go to sleep at night compared to many people that are working in public and see, you know, the cross cut and see people who are miserable and nasty. And how do they sleep at night? Mm-hmm. People say to me, what are you so happy about? Or right. Do you have to be so happy? I said, well, what would you rather I be?
Cheery.
Well, you know, what's your name?
Her name is Kirsty.
Kirsty, you know, science says that with your optimism, you're going to live a longer, healthier life. I mean, optimism is a powerful tool, and they've shown that people live longer and they're healthier when they're optimistic.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Thanks, Kirsty, so much for your call. Okay, let's go to Greg from Janesville. Hi, Greg.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
It's not raining out. It's liquid sunshine. I'm sure of it. There's no such thing as rain in my world. But anyway, first of all, thanks for a little lighter topic. I find it very difficult to listen to radio anymore just because of all the, you know, if the swine flu doesn't get me, the Taliban will. And, you know, meanwhile, my bank account's going down, down, down.
Yeah. So, right. Right. I get you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I would say that, for me anyway, since I'm in sales, I kind of approach the day like every day I'm looking for a job, and I got to make something happen, and if I think I'm going to have a bad day, you know what, I generally do, and if I think I'm going to have a great day, I generally do, so I feel that, and one, you know, I get so much negative sometimes from the media that I got to turn it off because it can wear you down, you know. And so I never heard of this Good News thing, network, whatever, before I turned the radio on this morning. But I appreciate what you're talking about, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. How much good news do you get from people like Greg who just send you information? I imagine you get a lot of local stories that way, don't you, Jerry?
Well, no, I get a lot of great stories. I've gotten several today that I'm happy to put up in the next 24 hours. All kinds of stories. One wonder. I thought it was great. A town that was devastated by a tornado, Greenburg, Kansas, I guess a couple years ago, has looked at it. Especially the city manager. He said, "You know, we have a clean slate here. We can reinvest ourselves in green technology." And so they really reinvented themselves, and now they're building green, and they're using solar and wind and. It was really an inspiring story from CNN that someone sent me.
Oh, great. Thanks, Greg, for your call. Jan is next from Sauk City. Hi, Jan.
Hi there. This is a great topic, and I just had something happen, and it's not big like a city, but it made me feel very, very good. Excuse me. I work part-time in a convenience store, and this young woman with a child came up with some groceries. And she gave me her food stamp card, and it was declined. And I apologized. You know, I said, "I'm sorry." And I suppose there was $20 worth of things there. And so she says, "Well, I don't have any money," and was ready to walk out of the store. And the gentleman behind her, who only had a soda, that's all he had, handed me his charge card and said, "Pay for her groceries." And she turned around and she said, "Will you... Are you serious?" And he said, "Yes." She said, "Can I give you a hug?" And he said, "Well, sure." And it just made me feel good the rest of the night. It was just such a nice feeling. Somebody would do something like that.
Yeah. It tears me up right now. I guess I am a Pollyanna for sure. But it reminds me of a story I featured also. Another favorite on the website was there was a policeman called to a convenience store. A homeless man had tried to steal a couple of sandwiches. And when the cop got there, he talked to him and found out that he was hungry and homeless. And the policeman called his sergeant, and he talked to the manager of the store, and maybe even the corporate headquarters of the store, and they decided that that they weren't going to press charges, and then the police bought him the sandwiches, the policeman. So I thought that was really, that's the same kind of thing. I would do that if I saw someone in front of me in the line. I'm fortunate enough to be able to do it.
Right.
Have a few extra dollars and can help people out like that in line. It's just it's a tight economy, and a lot of us. Well, there's another good story today about a city wanted to raise some money because of its budget shortfall, Salem, Massachusetts, and so they realized a lot of people had parking tickets that were overdue. So they said, "Okay, we're going to give an amnesty. We'll waive all the late charges if you come in with your original fee for the parking ticket and two cans of food for the food pantry."
Oh, isn't that a nice idea?
They raised $28,000, which was to surprise them, and a whole truckload and a half full of food for the food pantry.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that creative?
Yeah, it's a wonderful story. Thank you very much, Jan, for the call. I could get hooked on doing shows like this.
Great story to be told. I love that. And,
yeah.
And firsthand from the cashier it better.
Right. Michelle from Green Bay. Hi.
Hello. How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Good.
I have a really cool thing happening in front of my store in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I've got a gratitude wall. I got to the point of being tired of people complaining about what they didn't have and forgetting to remember what they do have, because we're also blessed in so many ways. And so I put up a wall of chicken wire, and I put my business partner and I put out pieces of fabric, and people write on them what they're grateful for or what they'd like to invite into their lives. And then they tie them on the wall. And the idea was that the winds take those ideas and asking for blessing to the universe. And it has been such a huge success. We were going to leave it up for a month last summer, and it started last June, and it's still up. And so my partner and I are right now creating the second wall, welding up the second wall, so we can take this one down, record some of the good ones, and or a lot of the good ones, actually, because there are so many, and put up a new one and start the project all over again. And so now I'm getting the idea that maybe I should try and expand this into other places. And it's just beautiful, all the colored ribbons just blowing in the breeze, and people stop by at all times of the day and night and add things to the wall. It's just fabulous.
Michelle, you should send me a photo and send me a little story, and I'll put it on the Good News Network.
I would love that. Thank you so much.
Thanks. My pleasure. It sounds like it'd be great in the inspired section. That's where we just put miscellaneous stuff that inspires you.
Thank you, Michelle, for your call. Megan is next from Chicago. Hi, Megan.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I'm slightly concerned with your attitude of if the news is troubling or making me too sad of turning it off. And to me, I am concerned that speaks of a disconnection with, you know, what's happening in the world around you. It's not something I would necessarily want my children, or at least my older children, to do. What I think is missing in the media, and maybe also in your own site, is that step is, what can they do about it? What can they do to make change or to make something better? But I'm really worried. Now, I can understand if you're depressed or if you have other issues like that, but I'm worried about this idea of, I can't handle this, it's too sad, I don't want to hear it, plugging my ears and closing it off. And to me, I'm just really concerned about how you would encourage people to be physically engaged with a mindset like that.
All right, that's a good point. Megan? Thanks, Megan, for your call. Jerry?
Well, like Rob said, the important thing is to feature solutions to the problems. So we have a lot of stories on the website that are addressing major issues like female genital mutilation in Africa. When there's a solution to that, when towns and villages are getting together and educating themselves and putting an end to that, that goes on the Good News Network. Now, when I personally am hearing, like you said, the media today doesn't offer how can you help. Now, there's plenty of websites that offer how can you help. And, in fact, I would say that those stories about the rape that I don't want to listen to because they make me feel helpless, that's just a personal choice. But those stories would get other people to react differently. Other people would be inspired to do something about it. Other people would be led to help find a solution, or would get angry and then go on the internet and find a way to help out. So, as I said before, I don't advocate that it be shut off or turned off or that people don't listen to it, but that you follow your inner voice. And my inner voice leads me, and when you follow your inner voice, you will be led to your purpose in life. So a lot of people that listen to that story will be led to help out the situation.
And it's as though you talk about the news, and NPR is certainly the best source of news around, if you ask those of us who work in public radio, but it really is. It's very good, and it's frequently inspirational. It's frequently hard-hitting, disturbing news. You're not cutting yourself off from that. You, Jerry, are not. You're involved in the world.
Well, I hear, you know, a lot of it from NPR, but
right.
I readily admit that I will turn off a story if for instance, a story about, you know, there is a bombing in Iraq where a guy blew himself up and 10 people died or something like that. I'm not going to listen to that. That's just a personal choice, and everybody has that choice. But, you know, I do listen to the news, so I hear the headlines. So I hear the top-of-the-hour news several times a day, and I like to tune into different talk shows like yours that, you know, are discussing issues of the day.
Right.
Yeah, so I stay abreast.
Yeah. Thanks, Megan, for the call. Margaret is next from Oshkosh. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about choice and about turning it on or keeping it on and turning that off. I, for our family, want my children to grow up in a bubble that is safe and is positive. And I noticed that when you talked about choice there just now, I wake up every day, not every day, but most days, and I say, okay, you have a choice, be positive or focus on the negative. And being a school teacher, I've noticed that on the days when I'm stressed and things are going crazy and I'm focusing, when I tend to focus more on a negative, I don't get the same results from the kids. They really pick up on, if you celebrate even a slight success, they're more likely to give you more things to celebrate. And so it's so contagious. It's just mm-hmm. passed on through, you know, every group of kids that I come in contact with, and then it passes on. But if everyone's leaving my room and they feel that, you know, they can't do anything right, well, they're going to stop trying. And so I think that's the whole, like a whole choice that when I wake up and I say, okay, today's going to be a good day, and I'm going to make choices to focus on the positive. I think that's really what everyone kind of needs to do to make it a happier place.
Yeah, I think especially with children. Now, my children were 7, 5, and 3 when I started the Good News Network, and now they're 18, 15, and 13. So mm-hmm. They're different ages, but especially with young children, I want them to have a childhood where they are not concerned about people blowing themselves up. If there's something happening in their school, you know, that's fine. That's another matter where it's really local and they need to know about it. And then there's ways to handle it in a positive way and a compassionate way to those who are troubled enough to maybe be bullying in a school or something like that. But the Good News Network is excellent. There's a lot of teachers who subscribe to it and who pass along the news to their kids. I think that kids are normally hopeful, just like they normally laugh 200 times a day when adults probably laugh on the average of 20 times a day or 10 times a day. So I think they're naturally hopeful, and they really resonate with these stories. And I have a great kids section where it's all about the kids under 18 who are doing great things, which is would explode if I had all the great things that the kids are doing.
We're talking about the Good News Network this hour of the program. Jerry Weiss-Corbley is our guest. She's the creator, editor, and publisher. And if you want to see what it's all about, it is a site that you can go to. She is now charging for it. She did it 10 years for free, but this is her work, and so she figures good news can sell. And if you go to goodnewsnetwork.org, you can find out more about it. I'm Kathleen Dunn. More phone calls for her in a moment. Here's our number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, or the email address for us is talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning to your phone calls, Sue from Madison. Hi.
Hi. I tuned in late, so you may have covered this, but I wanted to put forward the movie Pay It Forward and the concept, which I'm reading in the papers now pretty regularly. Do something not to pay back somebody, to pay it forward. And maybe she could comment about that.
I'd love to. There's been a couple of things that are coalescing around this movement. There's also the kindness movement, which is very similar. But someone sent me a link to a note about an experiment they did, and it's called epiphanynow.org. PIF is the Pay It Forward, epiphanynow.org. And this man gathered a bunch of friends together, a bunch of 200 neighbors, and they all talked about how they could pay it forward. And so they went out and each did something kind for someone, and they brought it back, and now it's a video, and they're starting a movement. So it's all about feeling good, I think. And back to Michelle's point from Chicago, if you see something that you need, that you think needs changing, that helps make you feel good too. So I think it's all about feeling good, and certainly the Pay It Forward movement, like paying for the coffee in a drive-thru for the person behind you, can be life-changing and health-enhancing. I think that this whole realm of thought is really good for your health. I mean, our family, we like never get sick for 20 years because we're really positive people.
Thank you, Sue, for the call. Jack is next from Newport Township, Illinois. Hi, Jack.
Good morning. I guess we have to get ready for somewhat of a wet mop in my phone call here because, in my opinion, if you're giggling about the subject of the news, in my opinion, you're taking the wrong attitude. I would agree that there is a market for alternative approach to the news, but possibly I could explain part of the reason why. Now, I would agree that there are too many stories in the media that the theme behind them is this could happen to you. And that does get depressing. There's no question about that. But what we're lacking today is the decline of the concept of investigative reporting. And the reason for that is because corporate media today doesn't want to do it because investigative reporting costs money.
Mm-hmm.
What we need is a different type of negative news where those investigative reporting is being vigilant for what government and its special interest allies are doing to us. So, in other words, I'm saying we're getting the wrong type of negative news.
Well, that's an interesting point. What do you think about that, Jerry?
Who could disagree with the fact that we need that investigative journalism is on a decline, and it's because of money, and it's wrong? I think that a lot of people are exploring the nonprofit model for journalism, which is great, and I totally agree with you.
Thank you very much, Jack, for your call. Trevor is next from La Crosse. Hi, Trevor.
Hi there. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Trevor.
I've been enjoying your show the whole way between Prairie du Chien and La Crosse, and I'm glad I could get back into cell phone service before the end of the show. I have a great job in La Crosse. I work for the Boy Scouts, and it affords me the opportunity to do a lot of fun stuff with kids in the area. And this is kind of a timely program because I'm preparing to do a wilderness survival course this weekend for a group of older boys. And I think there's an interesting intersect between your topic now, positive news, and survival psychology. The most important thing is a positive attitude.
Wow.
And I mean, guys like Bear Grylls, survivalists like Tom Brown, when they write in their books about keeping a positive attitude, they end up talking about how a survival situation can turn into an incredibly rewarding one, because if you can be positive about it, you can enjoy it. And I think there's an interesting psychological point about, and it goes back to the call from Rob about finding solutions. It's easier to get things done when you're positive about it and you're being proactive. And I just think that's it's great what your site is doing. I hadn't heard about it until this point. I plan on subscribing after today, though, so I appreciate what you're talking about, and I think it does have very real, very tangible benefits to it.
Well, Trevor, I'd love to hear that also in an essay. I'd love to publish your take on positivity in survival skills and in crisis situations. I think that is fantastic. So send me something if you can.
Absolutely.
I would be the perfect person in a crisis to be with.
You would be?
Yes, I would be.
Why is that?
I don't know why, but I go into a calm mode.
Huh.
I'm always positive, and it tends to, it works out. You know, I don't know how and I have been. I've like the other like Kirsten, I believe, I didn't have a good childhood. You know, easy childhood, and had lots of things happen as a teenager. And you know, so who hasn't had a terrible childhood? But during a lot of those crucial moments. I think it was my positivity and just a calm, never panic attitude that got me through it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another job for you. You can rent out your services. I am calm always in a state of crisis.
See,
not too many people can say that.
You want me in the elevator.
I think it's one of the reasons the president is so popular, actually. He remains very steady, very calm, very reassuring.
Who is so popular?
The president.
Oh, Obama.
Right.
Oh.
Because of his demeanor.
Yep, I think so, too. You know, it was interesting. I heard last night that they said, name one word that reminds you or that would describe Obama. They said this 6 months ago, and overwhelmingly it was inexperienced. And now that word, intelligent.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Thanks very much for the call. We have about 45 seconds left, everybody. Maureen is next from Madison. Hi, Maureen.
Hi. If I could just say two things really quickly. I don't quite agree with this idea that you said you don't want your children to grow up in a world where they know people are blowing themselves up. But the fact is that they are. And I think the worst
scenario is
not be aware until the point you're an adult of the kind of world that you're living in. We live in a traumatic world, unfortunately. But part of being a responsible person is being willing to accept the suffering that comes, I think, with living with your eyes wide open. And the second thing, I frankly resent this idea that you've enjoyed 20 years of health because you're positive. I think you're fortunate. And, you know, the inverse of that seems to imply that people who are unhealthy have brought that upon themselves, and that just is not the fact of life.
That's a whole nother show. You've heard of the law of attraction? And probably, have you?
Yeah, we can't get into it right now.
Yeah, no,
we have to say
goodbye. That is a whole other show.
Okay, Jerry, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
And again, I was just speaking mostly of my young 7, 5, and 3 kids when they were that young. I mean,
yeah.
I want them to be able to enjoy, just like I do now, a world of positive thinking.
Our guest this hour, the founder of the Good News Network, Jerry Weiss-Corbly, creator, editor, and publisher, and you can find it online. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and thanks to Rhonda for on-air production as well. We have news coming up. I'll be with you again on Monday for All Things Political at 9. Thanks for listening.